It's finally happened. The Galra invasion of Earth is at hand. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We're looking at Season 7, Episodes 7 and 8. We have a very special guest with us, and we are going to be talking about how to build alien ships on Earth, why a particle barrier is a necessary part of your arsenal, and World War III, evidently. So, join us after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That moment when a single line of world building just completely trips you up for the rest of the season.
It's just like, yeah, at that point where you're like, tell me more about what World War III was. How did that happen?
That's the line that made me want the series Bible. Like, no, explain the entire history of this AU Earth up to this point. I'm a nerd. Anyway, hi, welcome back. For those of you who don't recognize it, this is the Independence Day theme, because that is how we're rolling today. We are the Voltron AfterBuzz TV After Show. We are looking at Season 7, Episodes 7 and 8, The Last Stand, Part 1 and 2. I have with me Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Welcome to Earth!
I should have known. Blue Lion Alexis Torres, as you know, is off doing her own thing. And our yellow and red lions are also celebrating the holiday. So,
yay!
It's us. I'm Black Lion Katie Cullen. And we have with us the voice of James Griffin, AJ Locasio.
Yay, that's weird to hear.
I know, right?
I'm so used to LOTOR.
LOTOR.
That's very strange. But hey, I'm glad to be here.
I had to write his first name down just to be sure. I'm like, Griffith, he has another name. It's not just LOTOR.
Yeah.
He's got two names.
It's funny, too, because I'm used to in the script it always said Griffin. So when people were like, you voiced James, I was like, who's James? I was like, oh, that's right, because I'd never said James in the scripts. It was always Griffin. Anyway, it confuses me.
Because for the most part, they're all known by their last names anyway.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so how did that come about?
You got it. It was weird. Well, it was just a normal... Sorry, am I talking close enough to the mic? I got yelled at before.
Eat it. Eat the mic.
I must eat the mic. It was just a normal audition. It just came in my email. My agent sent it like, Voltron's looking for a character. And I saw the art and I was like, oh, cool. He kind of... Wait, no, I didn't see the art for that one. I saw the art for LOTOR. I had no idea what he looked like.
Looks kind of like you.
Yeah, weirdly, without a beard. I saw it a little while after I was doing the voice and I was like, did you guys model that after... And they didn't give me an answer. So I'm like, all right.
But, they're like, we can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, are we glad that AJ auditioned for this part.
It worked out really well. But Bex kept saying, she's like, looks like you. It looks like... And I was like, it does. It does. More when I shave. But it was just a regular audition. It was weird. And then when I got it, I got an email. It was like, welcome to the Voltron family. And I was like...
Oh, was I disowned?
I've been here for a little while. But it was... Because I think whoever sent the email had no idea that I'd worked on the show, but...
They have a template for
probably. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But it was weird. I mean, I don't know if it was just easier for them to get me or there's no new contracts you have to sign or I don't know. I was very, very happy because, you know, LOTOR sort of wound down towards the end. So to have another
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, wound down was maybe not as prominent. So I was super excited to not have to leave, you know, it would feel like leaving college or like summer camp or something. So I was very happy.
Yeah, and it's great to have you back. It's great to have you back on the show.
Yes, it is.
It's like, what's our excuse to get AJ on? Oh, he's got a new character. Yes.
Did have one line or two lines in the feud episode. So there was that.
Yay!
That was spectacular, by the way.
I love that episode. I was so excited when I read it. I was like, I can't believe you guys are doing this. This is amazing.
I'm really sad we never got to see any of LOTOR's art.
Me too. That's one of the tweets that I kept getting, like, LOTOR makes art? And I was like, yes.
So is he a really good artist, or is he like stick figures? Put him on the fridge.
I would imagine he's probably a very detail-oriented, very good artist. He's probably, I imagine, like a fine artist. He's very snooty about it.
Probably like a perfectionist. Like,
right,
no one can see it until it's complete.
Oh, totally. Definitely. And we also, in that episode, I was a little disappointed because I did a take of that, there was what where he calls her like, you filthy, filthy hag. I did one where it was like way over the top and I was like, please keep that. And they did not. They went with the more subdued one, which worked for the show, but I went way crazy on one of them.
I would love to see that on the blooper reel that we may or may not ever get.
I can't. They must keep it somewhere, but it would be a lot of cursing in that blooper reel, though. So
that's why I want it.
I curse like a sailor when I screw up a take, so it's...
Do you do it in voice, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Lator swearing into the sun.
Yeah, we all kind of do. So it's funny that, you know, because you get taken off guard by something and then you just immediately snap into cursing and being upset about it. And then you go back into the line. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be sitting on some audio engineer's computer, just like,
Someone's having
a bad day. Double click that file. Ah, yes.
I'm sure they've got it somewhere. I hope they do.
Me too. Like, I need that in my life, you guys. I know it'll never happen, but I need it in my life. Anyway, before we get rolling talking about the content of the episodes themselves, we have you and chat need to calm down. I love you, but calm down.
What are they doing? Oh, I could see it up there. I just see.
There.
I'm not wearing my glasses, so I don't know what it says.
I
feel like we would need binoculars.
Yeah, exactly.
We're having a heavily moderated chat tonight for reasons that I'm sure you all know. So a little bit of housekeeping today. Seriously, guys, put it on Twitter. It's not going to make it into chat. And I can't repeat it on air. So, oof. Anyway.
Keep it PG,
wow,
guys.
Second verse, same as the first. Yeah, we're having a heavily moderated chat tonight. Our usual housekeeping, of course, applies. We are going to talk about the episode, just these two episodes, for the first 30, 40 minutes or so. And if we don't run out of time, because we've definitely run out of time the past couple weeks, we will talk about the season as a whole for the last bit. So until we drop that spoiler warning, keep the comments spoiler-free, keep the chat spoiler-free, keep the hashtag spoiler-free, because there are some people who are watching this along with us and haven't already binge-watched the series. Like, dang, you guys. God bless your self-control. Also, we have implemented a new rule in chat, which is essentially be nice or get out. You are definitely entitled to your opinions. Your reactions are valid. I firmly believe that you can express them in a positive, human way. And if you decide to express them in an angry, contentious, abusive way, you will be banned from the entire channel. That's a new sound effect, and I like it.
It's like a lightning round.
The sound of you getting ejected.
Getting
That's
banished.
The sound
from,
of, hi, Felicia. So, yeah, for the most part, people have been pretty great about this. So, yeah, be nice or get out. Yay!
All
yeah,
right.
same for comments. If your comment is being a jerk, your comment will also be deleted after the fact. So,
no.
Just so y'all know.
And for the record, most everybody that has left comments and our regulars who come into chat and people in the hashtag, you guys are always great and you guys are always so positive and sweet. So just a big thank you. It's something that we want to reiterate going into these episodes.
Yeah, and we always have some first time viewers. And very rarely do we have a chat go by that doesn't have someone go, it's my first time watching, which we adore you guys. Welcome to the Madhouse. But so we really want to make sure that everyone knows all of that going in.
Yeah.
So housekeeping's taken care of. We love you all. Let's get started. We're back on Earth, y'all.
I've been so excited for these couple of episodes because we've been saying since the team left Earth that we're so excited to see, like, let's come back to Earth. What's going on? What's going on with the garrison? And this is the episode where we finally get an answer to all of that. And it's so cool watching the politics play out, watching the science play out, watching the internal policies at the garrison change. It's fascinating seeing what these guys came up with.
Amy, were you surprised when you got the script?
Yeah, I was, because I didn't... I mean, I think they maybe mentioned to me a while ago they were going to go back to Earth at some point, but, yeah, I didn't know to what point, or to what degree we were going to watch people before we actually got back to Voltron. Like, I was kind of blown away that you got to spend some time with the garrison, with new characters. It was like, whoa, this is like a whole other thing. It's a whole departure. A whole spin-off, as it were.
You're really gunning for
just
that, aren't
saying,
you?
You know, there's some really capable pilots that could take over just in case. No.
There have been many incarnations of Voltron
that's
in the
true.
Past.
Now, people have suggested, that's not my, I would love to see the original cast always forever.
Of course.
Yeah. But if, you know, hey, they could squeeze in a hat. Now that Lotor can't be the hat, Griffin could be the stunning mustache. just a little
very carefully lands
carefully,
that little plane right on the lip.
That's
like, hey,
perfect.
Guys.
Hey, being cranky at Keith. What was the question? Earth? Yeah, I wasn't expecting it, especially not to that degree.
What I love is that this has proven Megan right.
Yes!
And one of those wonderful, awful predictions that we are so good at coming up with.
pick up the phone because I called it.
And then put the phone back down because it's definitely coming from inside the house.
The original Voltron series, for those who are unaware, if this is your first experience with Voltron, if this series is, in the original Voltron, Earth was destroyed within the first, like, 2 minutes of the series. Literally 5 minutes in, everybody, the entire crew is back on Earth, and Earth is in shambles. So I always thought it was a fascinating idea of, like, well, what if in the hands of these writers and, you know, this talented cast and crew, what if they took that idea and ran with it? And that's exactly what these two episodes are about. Guys, we went, like, full Robotech, full, like, Gundam Wing mech anime, and I'm yes. so happy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And I love that we started essentially where we left off. Like, we're in Voltron. Everyone's super happy. We're going home. Oh, God, that's a distress signal. Oh, we showed up 3 years late and didn't even bring Starbucks.
No. It's very Lord of the Rings. It's the, what is it, the Scouring of the Shire? Or yeah. When they go back, or the Scourge. What's the word in the chat? I don't know. But yeah, Frodo and Sam going back, they're like, oh, crap, everything's on fire.
You know, that thing they left out of the movies because we didn't need yet another ending.
No. We couldn't handle that. Another 30 minutes or oh more. God. Another war.
Of Saruman being mad at the world. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of what this is, though. Let's be real. It's Saruman showing up being real mad at the world.
Yeah, but it's Sendak?
Yeah.
Sendak? How did he... I don't remember him coming back. He's just suddenly back? I was like, did I blink?
They brought him back for the Kral's era, and then he stole a ship and left on his own, and then showed up for a single episode last season as the head or main mover and shaker of the Fires of Purification, and then just bounced and showed up for these episodes. Like, oh, the Paladins are still around. Good Earth.
Even though I totally called, like, oh yeah, Galra invasion, I wasn't ever sure that Sendak was going to be that big of an antagonist.
I didn't think that was coming. I mean, like, I'm glad this guy's out of here. Old Jake Eberle, get his voice out of here.
And then he's back.
It's funny, I remember him being really sad about it. He was like, well, that was my last episode. Aww. And then, I know, and it was really sad because he's a sweetheart. And then, like, I saw him, like, the next week or something. He's like, all right, I guess they got me doing one more. And he, like, never left. You know what I mean? Like, he thought he was done. It's like, well, they killed me, you know, because he was, what, the voice of the ship or something for a while?
He got ejected from the ship.
Yeah, and he thought, I mean, we all thought that was it. Like, we were like, oh, yeah, and so funny to see him come back as, like, you know, Darth Maul or whatever. Like, he's running, you know, he's the other, not Darth Maul. Well, I guess he did kind
of. Yeah, he did exactly like Darth Maul.
Now that I think about it, yeah, actually, that was the perfect Sith Lord to choose.
Except he's got a huge mechanical arm instead of mechanical legs.
Right, yeah.
So he's doing one better than Darth Maul. He's still got all these same appendages that he left with.
He is the only villain that has come back from being yeeted into the void.
Yeah. I did think that it was...
Let's hope that changes. Another spinoff. 99 bottles of mean juice on the wall. Just out in the void floating.
Attempting to civilize the void.
Yeah. I wonder what happened. If you're out in the void, like, is he like awake? Can you breathe? Is there, you know... Would he run out of resources?
Would he make friends with the horror blob that showed up in that one history episode?
Is there a horror blob? I don't remember.
In the flashback episode for how Voltron came to be, there was that, like, awful black and red blob that came out of the rift.
It did seem to be semi-sentient.
It did. Make friends
you guys have a much better
blob.
Memory for this than I do.
It's my job.
I'm just hoping.
It's mine too, but I don't remember it.
It's a different aspect of my job is to know minutiae.
I'm just hoping that he has, like, a stack of, like, printer paper and some like colored pencils, because then he could just work on his art for the.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
He could line the inside of his ship with artwork.
But he's probably going nuts from all the quintessence, so he's just veiny and, like, gross and he's
angry
super
drawing.
Buff. Yeah. Lotal draw. Yeah, he'd be really swole from all that quintessence.
Oh, man.
That's what it does, right? Or it just makes you maybe crazy.
Or just crazy.
Okay, all right.
Quintessence, not even
he's
once.
He's making his own, like, Bob Ross vlogs, but he's insane.
Yeah, oh, I'd watch that. Yeah.
And this is where you express your betrayal.
Yeah. And here we've got an angry tree. Yeah.
There are no mistakes. There are just betrayals from the people you thought were your allies.
What a sad ending.
I need that now. It's kind of like we get these little 2-minute YouTube videos. Like, I need that now.
Yeah, like the Avatar shorts they did where they were like little chibi babies.
Oh, yeah. That would be adorable.
All of them on a playground.
Chibi Lotor.
Chibi Lotor. There was a Chibi Lotor in the feud, right? There was kind of a little, they cut to him for a second on the screen.
One of the commercial bits. Yeah. It was so adorable.
I thought that was fan art when I first saw it. Not on the show, but I saw it around and I was like, because I didn't watch the season immediately. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's actually canon. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cute.
Yeah. Is a plane taking off? Is anyone else?
I think that might be the air conditioner.
Oh, okay.
Is it the air conditioner? We are in the path to the Burbank Airport.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
What are we talking about?
Welcome to Los Angeles. Well, we were talking about the episodes, but then we were talking about Lotor. Because that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot.
It does. Just going back to this, unfortunately, Earth is super under attack. Sendak and Matt Mercer, his right-hand man.
Oh, that's right.
I love Hepta because he's one. If anyone's ever seen Galaxy Quest, there's this one line where I have one job on this ship, and it's a stupid job, but I'm going to do it. And that's him. That's this character.
He's the Sigourney Weaver for the Galra.
He's the Sigourney Weaver of the Galra. Admittedly, that's not a bad thing to be because Sigourney Weaver is Sigourney Weaver.
Exactly.
But this particular iteration.
It is just funny to see, like, he's just there to state the obvious, basically. That's kind of adorable.
He really is.
Poor Matt. What is it? His name was Hepta?
Hepta.
I didn't know that.
That's the subtitle. The subtitle said it once.
Oh,
because
okay.
If someone's talking off screen, then you get the name next to it.
Right.
So we knew Veronica's name was Veronica about 20 minutes before she introduced herself to the team.
That's fine. Isn't Hepta a standardized test? I'm not joking. Like, I think there's the Heptas. Isn't that a thing? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe in New Jersey. I know there's different tests for different school regions.
And I'm going to look it up.
It might be a disease. Who knows? I might be wrong.
I've heard of, like, Hep B and Hep A. But
yeah, right.
Oh. Princess Pony says, fun fact, Hepta is actually the same Galra who first said, initiate Project Quran Stage 3. Hepta gets around.
Really?
Yeah, and the reactions in chat have been, Matt Mercer! Matthew Mercer! I heard him and all I heard was McCree. That was Matt?
So far, everybody
loves
Matt.
I love everyone in this bar.
What?
I love everyone in this bar.
Oh, and that's
chat's,
a reference to the chat
chat's
bar.
Having
I thought
fun.
You just lost it for a second. I love everyone in this bar.
This is a bar now?
Yeah, this is why you need more guests or more hosts to keep you grounded.
She's got bottles of vodka underneath the table.
Right.
Like, don't tell them my secrets.
Sadly, I can't find anything on Hepta standardized test, but I might probably be spelling
good.
It wrong.
I'm maybe thinking like HESPA or something. There's some other.
HESPA sounds a little more. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out of my butt.
Galra have fun names.
Right.
And that's Sigourney Weaver, Matthew Mercer.
But I really love, before Sendak even gets to Earth, I really love that we finally get some time with the Holtz. Because before we ever met, like properly met Colleen Holt, we had a couple guests on here just saying, oh man, I love Colleen Holt. And we were like, can you tell us anymore? And that was it.
Nope.
Just, we love her. And now we get to see why. It's because, like mother, like daughter, she doesn't take no for an answer.
Right. Yeah.
Colleen Holt is best woman.
Absolutely. Is best. Best mom, best lady.
She's period. Incredible. And I wrote things in my notes that I'm not allowed to say on air because we try to keep things at the language level of the show, and my notes get fun and interesting sometimes. But she, I think one of them was screw protocol, tell the world. And just her saying, well, you don't have clearance. You will get me clearance.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. All the Holts are great. Love the Holts.
Yeah, Sam is very competent and a very charismatic leader, and Colleen is the one who will flip tables to make way for him.
Yeah. Except that Matt. I don't trust that Matt. Out there being all Matty
being
with his Mattness.
Being a space pirate.
Being a space pirate, yeah. Doesn't he have like a space wolf too? Or
I think that's Keith.
Is that Keith? I know Keith has this. I thought Matt had like a dog companion of some kind. No,
there was an anthropomorphic dog, an alien.
I don't know.
But
I'm
not the same
up.
As having a pet.
No.
I think everyone should get a pet space wolf.
I agree. Or those little puffer things, little puffy things.
Yeah.
Those things are adorable. Little fur, what are they like?
The little junkyard poofs.
Yeah.
Oh, the little tribbles.
Tribbles. I couldn't think of that for some reason. Yeah. Like, everyone should get their own little... Lotor gets a little purple tribble.
Aww.
James I mean, Pitch took some of them home with her.
Did she? Oh, did she?
She did. She had them in her room in the Castle of Lions, so I can only assume they're hanging out with Kaltenecker. And Carlton Ecker just kind of goes into the void when we don't want to deal with him.
Yeah, he's a tough... It's funny that they keep him. They constantly have to maintain him. Like, just as writers, what a funny thing to have to keep constantly.
We have to keep the cow, the space cow in mind.
You just kind of think of the fact that Carlton Ecker has been in the Blue Lion for this entire season, and then you kind of look back at the season as a whole and go... Oh.
Carlton Ecker's fine.
That's a very hearty cow.
Yeah.
He's a very chill
cow. It's either that or he's a burger, so it's good that this is probably being in the Blue Lions fine.
He can't be ground beef at this point. No, they still need
horrifying.
Milkshakes.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we also get to meet our cadets who didn't go off to be Paladins of Voltron. Griffin, Razavi, Kincaid, and Leif's daughter.
Leif's daughter.
Who's one of my favorites. Oh my god.
Yeah, she's great.
Can I just say that I love these four.
Like, yeah, I do too.
They were introduced, and I, like, it's one of those ones where you just look at their character designs and you see the brief interactions that they have and you're like, I love them. This is an awesome team.
Yeah, they're a really cool team. I love the designs. I love the way Kincaid looks, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Kincaid's really cool looking. Very handsome fellow, too. But they're all awesome. I actually thought, I don't know what was wrong with me, but I thought Veronica was part of that crew. Like, for some reason, I don't know, it's because I did a lot of stuff with the voice actress or what, but like, I was actually kind of confused when it was them as the four and then Veronica was in like a different room. I was like, oh, I thought we were on the same team.
I think it's because...
For a while you are.
Yeah, I mean, we are technically all on that, but I thought she was in the ships with them and stuff, but yeah.
I think that just because the show's main storyline focuses on the five paladins and that there's so much emphasis on like there being five of them, that we see a group of four and
we're like, what's this?
Of naturally assume like there's something missing here.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, and they're just so great.
Yeah, I love their outfits, too. I love the Garrison jackets and stuff. I want one of those. Those things are really cool. We all love the Garrison stuff, though.
And it was cool seeing Griffin again, because the last time we had seen him was in the flashbacks at the very beginning of the series.
Getting punched.
Where he was. He and Keith had a lot of animosity towards one another.
Yeah, he said some mean stuff to Keith.
Very mean.
Yeah, it was pretty mean, which was great. It was so much fun. I love being mean to Keith.
I'm not sure that he knew it was mean. Like... Did they know Keith's situation, or was that just like...
I don't know.
His dad died in a fire.
I guess, I feel like other people would know that, maybe. He was using that. It was a pretty mean thing to do. Kids say mean things when they're younger,
though.
They do.
They really
do. I mean, we've all said some really terrible stuff when we were kids, so...
And then you throw, like, middle school and high school sort of clickiness in there, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It can definitely get ugly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it's weird, you know, with Griffin, we see him in the last season, too, before, like, as a little kid.
Yeah.
Kind of just sitting there with him before you speak or knew who he was. And when I first saw him, I was like, oh! I was like, I can't say anything for, like, 4 months, though. But I thought that was really cool. It's like, oh, young Griffin. And we also voiced, when we were doing it, I don't know how obvious it is, but he's, like, 11, and then he's, like, 13, and then he's, like, 16, and then he's, like, 20 or something. Like, they kept going, okay, now it's 2 years later, so I kept gradually making my voice deeper as we went on, and you can see it here in the first clip. I'm like, oh, jeepers, like, it's really light. And then as we were going on it, we did a lot of pickups and stuff, so I was like, what age are we now? Like, oh, now you're, like, 17 and a half or whatever. I don't know how old he actually is.
Can you play
me
a clip?
Yeah, exactly. Don't quote me on those ages. I know when the handbook came out, that was a whole thing. Yeah. So, but, no idea how old Griffin is.
But yeah, that's always challenging when they're like, okay, you're playing this character, now rewind 10 years.
Right. Yeah, it was funny because it started young and then it got deeper and deeper. You know, like it just kept going. So I was like, how deep do you want me to, like, how low should his voice be? And yeah, because by the end of it, they kept going, all right, let's go. Thankfully, I didn't get that far. But, yeah, at a certain point, it just became my voice, which was great. I didn't have to really put anything on. It was just this. So, yeah.
No classy British accent this time around?
No, which is, actually, I miss it. I would much rather Griffin be that. But I think people would notice that they got the same voice actor if he sounded like Lotor.
Still a good voice either way, though.
Oh, thank you. What my mama gave me.
So we have these four. We have two new ships. We have the Atlas, which they talk about a lot and are still working on. And we have the MFE Ares fighters. And I love these classical Greek names.
Yeah. And it's so cool. like we take I think the benefit of these two episodes is like we sort of take all of the stuff that we get with Voltron on a consistent basis for granted. So like when we jump back to Earth and we see these fighter jets that like were designed on Earth, and even though they're incorporating alien technology, like seeing sort of the baseline for, you know, real world jets and everything like that, and seeing the aerial animations that they come up with, is it's really cool.
Yeah, it, again, it's crazy.
It makes it feel like a different show, but not in a bad way.
Right, yeah. And yeah. No, I have nothing to say. I was just agreeing loudly.
And getting into the fighting and resistance part of it, you realize how ridiculously powerful Voltron and the Paladin's Bayards and all these other weapons are, because we've been cutting through sentries and Galra ships and whatnot like butter. And then they show up on Earth, and it's a full-on Prince of Space, your weapons are useless against me situation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are it's we in the episode? If there's spoilers, hold your ears. Can I ask?
Go for it.
I mean, it's a full flashback, so.
As a, okay, well, I'm going to ask it because I think it is later on. Where the ship does the thing, where it turns into a thing?
Not yet.
Darn it. Because I'm just cover your ears, kids.
Hang on.
Oh, I can't.
We're going to hit the 10-minute mark and then we're...
Okay, good. All right, good. Oh,
spoiler alert. Spoilers.
I just wanted to ask, someone must have died. When that thing transformed, there's some guy in a bathroom just like, wait. Like, that definitely happened. Because there's no way that thing twisted and crunched and without some people. When it unfolded, there's just a bunch of dead... like cadets stuffed into the joints of the Atlas.
Like
no way! Whoa. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm sure the robot knew to move people, but that was my thought.
Now I'm just getting this image of a door pops open and just eject people before it happens.
Just like a Play-Doh like, factory, nope, just squishing people into...
That's incredible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what I thought of.
Like, oh, no. What was that movie, 13 Ghosts, with the house that was just moving and killing people?
Oh, yeah.
Was that 13 Ghosts?
Yeah.
This isn't 13 Ghosts.
There's one guy that gets sliced in half. There's another lady that, like, gets crushed in between two panels of glass. It's real gross. So, yeah.
That's a weird movie.
It's a very weird movie.
That's what you know. That's behind the scenes. You got to crack a few eggs.
Eggs are people.
Yeah.
And that's not the weirdest thing I've ever said on this show.
You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. Every cook will tell you that.
Right.
But look what happened to the cook! Oh. And brownie points to anybody who gets that reference.
All right, well, there goes my train of thought.
Sorry, you were trying to make a point about a show?
I was, and God bless, I don't actually remember what it was.
I feel like that was a very Neil tangent I just went off on.
Yes, it was.
To be like, well, who? Like, to just be, yeah. Neil's got all these conspiracy theories. Yeah, I love it.
You're making dad proud.
It's a legitimate concern. No one knew this ship turned into a robot.
Yeah, no one was prepared to get into a safe zone where the arms and the head and wouldn't be twisting and crumbling into, I don't know. There must have been. Lauren Joaquin, you know they thought about it. I know they thought about it and went, we're just not going to, no, why would we focus on that?
This is still kind of rated Y7, even though a lot of people died.
They got moved to a safe spot.
I feel like
you... Oh, no, a lot of people died in this episode.
Oh, in this episode, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This was a full-on invasion of Earth, and we tore up some major population centers. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's a whole lot of NPCs that did not make it out of those buildings. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because the show goes out of its way to not mention death, but it's very apparent. You know, the only on screen deaths we get are from the fighter pilots. So, but like it's very clear that the Earth is devastated. It's unambiguous. It's so dark for a kid's show to go down. Like I definitely think that if this was broadcast on TV, it would not be TVY7. It would be PG at this point.
No, yeah. I mean, especially there's some straight up kills.
Yeah.
Where you're just
like,
oh, you don't see necessarily the violence itself. You're like, well, that guy's dead.
Yeah. We can't not address this. My notes just say, hi Adam, bye Adam.
Aww.
Like,
poor sweet Adam.
Poor guy.
Yeah. The only guy in that squadron that we knew.
Yeah. This Okay, like, I guess we're going to have to talk about it, then.
You guys can talk about it. Yes.
We actually discussed this a little bit beforehand as to how we wanted to approach this on the show, because we're definitely aware that there was some contention around this. And the long and very short is, yeah, Adam's death is an example of barrier gaze. Is that a problem? Yeah. Does it ruin the series? Of course not. Like, the best thing you can do at this point, the best thing that anyone can do at this point, if they worked on the show, if they're fans of the show, if they're tangentially related to the show, is learn from this and do better next time. And keep in mind that these things, again, this was 3-4 years in the pipeline.
Yeah.
I have no idea how long it takes to make a series like this, but it's multiple years in advance. So this, it's a difficult thing to talk about. And yeah, I can understand why people are upset. Like, yeah, no, I get it. This is an opportunity to learn. And that's kind of what you have to take it as, because this is done. This is set in stone.
No.
And Chad is pressing F to pay respects. God bless that meme. Oh my God, you guys. You're beautiful.
I was definitely shocked when Adam was killed off. Like, that was absolutely shocking. And I definitely understand why people are upset about that. Barrier gaze is a harmful trope with a very long history. We completely understand that. However, I don't believe that was the intention going into this series, into writing Adam as a character and making and doing, you know, the whole thing about Shiro being gay and being the gay lead, like that. It was never meant to deceive anybody. I don't think queer baiting was ever intended.
It's not queer baiting. We have an honest to God canon queer person.
Exactly. Shiro's still here, and the series isn't over yet. So I understand being upset about Adam getting killed, but at the same time, this is a story about war. And when you're writing LGBT characters, you can't really swing too far in the other direction and make them infallible or impervious to bad things happening to them. Now, I think the best way to sort of avoid this sort of thing in the future, I will always kind of fall back on what Hank Azaria had to say about voicing the character of Apu when that controversy got really big when the documentary came out. And when the show itself did not do a great job of addressing the controversy, Hank Azaria was the one that came out going, look, I understand the intention was never to hurt anybody, but if it has, like, I'm here to help in whatever way I can to address this going forward, whether or not that means me stepping down from voicing the character. Like, I'll do whatever is the best option for that. But moving forward, I think the best way to address this is getting more people of Indian descent in the writer's room, getting more people of color in the writer's room, and people of different orientations in the writer's room. And I think that's something that needs to happen across the industry.
Oh, yeah.
As right. a whole.
Yeah. The more representation we have on the production side where these decisions are made and put into action, the more representation will actually make it to the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem is that there, especially in children's medium like Voltron, where the problem lies where just the representation that is there is very few and far between. So when something like this happens, it feels more impactful and more hurtful because there aren't as many characters to represent people. But this show has always been so inclusive from the get-go. Like, we've talked about time and time again how great it is to have characters like Allura, Hunk, and Lance, who are people of color. The fact that the show went out of its way to make Pidge a girl. Like, this show has always been inclusive. And it will continue to be so. You only have to look at the Garrett, like everyone in the garrison, it's a very diverse group of people all across the board.
I mean, our Admiral, Admiral Sonda, is a woman.
Yeah. Which I want to talk deal. About her, too. Oh. I love
her. Yeah, let's move into that. Let's talk about her a little bit.
Sorry for getting on my soapbox.
No, that's good soapbox absolutely. To be on and a good point to make. And that's... I think that's all we can say about the topic. I think that's all we're going to address. So, yes, default to Megan, what Megan just said, because that was incredibly well-delivered.
I mean, I don't even know what to say, you know, for me. I know I'll get in trouble if I don't say something, but, like, if I say too much, I'll get in trouble.
the better to...
just not say...
Better to say nothing and be thought an ass than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Right. Well, the one thing I was going to say...
not insulting you, just...
No,
you
that's know. Fine. We knew Shira was going to be gay for a really long time. I mean, for a couple of years at least. And so we were all so excited when we finally could talk about it. And I didn't know about the Adam plot line. I didn't know that was coming up, you know, which was kind of, I mean, it wasn't my story. It wasn't part of my thing. So I wasn't, honestly.
Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with Griffin.
Right. Or, and
you
or
didn't
Lotar,
get that
so I didn't
page
know
the
that.
Script.
Right. I did. I didn't read it. But there's a certain.
Where's the next place where it says Griffin? Oh, here
BS,
I am
BS,
again.
My line. but I knew Griffin, or not Griffin, that Shira was gay. And we were all just like, yeah, that's great. We can't wait to, you know, and he's such a cool. You know, heroic character to look up to. And we were just so excited to talk about it. And so it was so kind of blindsiding when there was backlash because we were like, oh, you know, it was very unexpected. Because Willem and Joaquin do nothing but try to be as inclusive and open and, you know, as real as possible. So it was kind of heartbreaking to see them be kind of, they didn't know this was, maybe they knew it was a trope or they found out later on, but I don't know. It was surprising to me.
And I think this is the point where I need to implement the Fight Club rule, and we need to move on.
Okay. Yeah, I just had to say my piece. Yeah.
I completely understand.
Because they'd be like, hey, you didn't say anything. And I'm like, no. I have nothing but love to spread. That was not the words to say.
You are allowed to smile and say nothing on this show.
No,
I
have to
say. We encourage people to do it to avoid spoilers.
Saying nothing is what causes terrible things.
Exactly. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Right.
The thing I keep falling back on, and we've said this on other podcasts before too, is like you're allowed to voice your opinion about stuff, but at the end of the day, guys, be excellent to each other. Like mm-hmm. we're all here because we love the same thing. So
right.
just be
yeah.
excellent
exactly.
to each other.
Yeah. Like don't be I gotta say this John Williams thing. I was at the John Williams concert last night, and when they mentioned The Last Jedi, the audience booed. And that was crazy to me. Spielberg was there.
Yeah.
And John Williams, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I know it's a divisive movie, you know, whether you love it or hate it or whatever, but like, to boo the composer, oh my, I thought that was so disrespectful.
It's immensely crazy.
There's a time and a place, and that was
yeah, and that was not it. Like, you can talk, and my one of my friends I was with despises that movie, and he cheered when he met, you know, like,
yeah.
And it was such a funny thing. It's like, you gotta be respectful with your opinion, like, anyway, sorry. Let's move on to the next thing.
I'm talking about
Star Wars now, so I'm all, yeah. People booing sweet old John Williams, the guy's like 1,000 years old. I made this song. He's like, he's dying. It's terrible.
It was the 40th anniversary of him performing.
We're live.
Yeah, I know, we're live. You can't delete that.
We need to talk
about
Admiral
Sawyer.
We're living in a very polarizing world, so the best we can do is be kind to each other.
We need to talk about Admiral Sawyer.
Admiral Sawyer.
I will yank this train back on the rails.
What about her?
It's an excellent segue, because she's a polarizing character.
Yeah, she is.
She is so stubborn in her convictions, but I love her because she's never for a second presented as evil.
Right.
Definitely arrogant and definitely stubborn. But at
that
the
haircut, she looks like Andrea Romano. That was my one, the voice director. I was like, did you guys model this after Andrea? And of course, I didn't get an answer. But they didn't.
Again,
they didn't.
You just kind of smiled.
I just smiled away.
Did
no,
someone,
I did not
did
get an answer.
Start,
I think
like,
it was
blinking
just
at you in Morse code.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was just a coincidence. But
she's phenomenal. Like I love. I just again, I love that she's never presented as being outlandish or like all of the decisions that she makes are very, very methodical and very logical.
They're very protocol based, and she's very lawful good.
It's very pragmatic. Like there's I mean, I feel like as we get further down the line, as things start to escalate, yeah, her ego does sort of start to get in the way a little bit. But yeah, like you're in a military setting. When people start defying orders, that's when people start dying in a lot of cases.
And there's this really fun disconnect by the fourth wall where we as an audience have seen everything so far in this series, and we know that what Sam's saying is true, and we know that Admiral Sanda is incorrect in her decisions, but that's because we have all the information. She doesn't. She's going on the word of, well, he brought a lot of information with him, let's be real, but she's going on his word. And in this crisis situation, she's going by what's on the books, what the protocol are, what the tried and true processes are. And so to her, that makes sense. We do what we've trained for. We do what we're able to do. Your pilots are cadets and your planes are untested. We're going with what we have. So we as the audience know that it's the wrong decision, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she knows and she's doing her best.
Right. Yeah. Also wonderfully voiced by...
Yes!
Yeah, I can't say her name. But she's great. Sumali, and then the last name of some kind. I should look it up. She's a sweetheart.
Montana?
Yeah, I know. I know the approximation of it, but yeah, she's awesome.
She's done so much good work.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's the voice of RC in Transformers Prime, and she also did a quick voiceover in, like, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Like, she has a very distinctive voice.
I feel really bad that I can't. It's more that I'm worried about butchering her name than anything.
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Montano. Sumali Montano. Hello, name is Sumali Montano.
I'm worried about butchering it. Let me do my best to be a Montoya.
Exactly. Was that
Earth
respectful? Yeah.
Prepare to die.
Yeah. But it has the perfect amount of syllables.
Right.
Sorry.
Speaking of the perfect amount of syllables,
we have a live read for you guys.
We do.
Hey, After Bros. I'm gonna go
We're
with After
keeping
Bros.
That. Thank you,
because
Alexis.
I miss Alexis, and we want to keep her spirit alive here on the show. Hey, After Bros. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you and will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button for now and for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels when you get the chance. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Chat's just yelling After Bros.
After Bros for life,
which is correct. And if you would like to support this show, if you like watching us, if you like seeing us go hilariously off topic, which we try not to do, and
it's great.
Happens anyway.
There used to be a button for it.
An off-topic button?
Yeah.
Like the Staples button?
Kind of. Oh no, he still has it.
Oh no!
I'm pretty sure he still has it. I just saw that.
Our systems detect that a soundboard host has wandered off the subject.
That's great.
How do you not have that cued on the Voltron soundboard, like, all the time? That's true. I rather like my yeeted into space sound effect. That's what the chat dubbed it, and that's what I'm keeping. Anyway, if you like the show, if you want to support the show, best thing you can do is head over to iTunes, find our iTunes feed, because yes, we do the thing. It's great for listening to in your car, on your commute, whenever you're doing chores, just whenever you need the audio and can't do full video. And subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars. You need 5 lines for Voltron, and you can only do 5 stars here because that's how it works. And leave a nice little review. And if you do that, you get a shout out on the show. I think we're running up against time, so it's probably going to need to be names only.
We got one from Sailor Chibi Chibi, gave us 5 stars, and the title of it is all just heart emojis in the different lion colors.
Nice.
And I'll form AfterBuzz from Matthew Lynn. I love my podcast. It's my favorite from way too many letters to try to list off. Yes, by Casey Dumb. Oh, you're not dumb. Don't be silly. The Opposite of a Dumpster Fire by Night Fury Lion. Kiwi 1 2 3 4 3 Voltron in 3 exclamation points. Wow, there are quite a
Voltron!
Few this time around. Dat Coloratura, I believe. Smidvarg and the gang. Hashtag Rep It Saucy is in the comment. Oh, you're so good.
Rep It Sassy.
D. Landro K. wrote, wow, oh gosh, and I J. Tupas. I think we did J. Tupas last time, so thank you guys so much.
You guys
These
are
great.
Wonderful.
Oh, man.
And
thank
also,
you
if you leave a review in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, we have trouble finding those because there's like 30-something iTunes stores, so screen cap it, throw it in the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron. We do see those, and we love you. Yeah, we've got a couple of things to talk about. I really want to talk about the Supply Depot run. after everything has gone to hell.
This is one of those things you were talking about earlier where we take how powerful our paladins are for granted because there are a couple drones on this particular one. You know, like the same sort of robot that became a paladude earlier in the series. Funson or Funbot, whatever he was named.
Did he have a name?
I think
fandom named him.
I think Josh named him Funson. I think that's what Josh named him.
Funson's great.
Funson's a great name. But so yeah, it's like these were joke creatures that, you know, our heroes could just kind of like bash without, you know, and like slice their way through without it actually being Galra people that they were tearing apart. but here, if they only get away by the skin of their teeth. Because of the limitations of the tools they have. So, yeah, I think it says a lot about how powerful the Bayards are.
Absolutely. I mean, credit where credit is due. You brought that up first while we were watching it, and then I cribbed your ideas. Because that is what I do sometimes.
Aww.
I didn't realize that. What was it? Keith did something really cool where he was like, Bayard, like,
protected. Yep,
and it was hand. I was like, whoa! that was cool. Those things could do a lot. I have a Bayard on my desk now because I cannot remember the name of the prop person. But yeah, those things are so cool.
Yeah, that is some next level paladin tricks. Just like, right. I am completely in tune with the universe, Bayard.
I think my favorite thing was that Instagram video you put up where you're trying to start with the Bayard.
And yeah. I was like, I wanted to do something to show off the, you know, that the person who gave it to me, who I wish I could remember their prop name. But that was what I can come up with.
And we have awesome. Chat, bless them, talking about the thing that threw me for a loop, World War III, that it was mentioned that it was an old setup from World War III. Good Lord. That might explain why everyone on this planet was so like, yeah, we'll totally help against an alien invasion. Because they survived the Third World War. Oh, my God.
You think that happened while they were away? Or do you think that was before?
It sounds like it happened decades ago.
Oh, okay.
At least. Like, hence the tunnels are from World War III and it's an old setup. And it's like, okay, this was from a while back.
Shows you how good my memory is about anything.
They talk
I
about
watched these this. Like 4 hours ago and I took copious notes.
A lot happened this season.
And these two episodes are very, very dense.
Yeah.
A lot happens in the span of two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they talk about World War III like we talk about World War II, where it's like, oh, it's this thing from the past. And no other details are given about like, who the good guys were, who the bad guys were.
We can't handle any more information.
No.
Yeah.
That's why I want the World Bible for this. Just like, give me all this history. Show me how it shaped things. Show me how it shaped the government. Obviously, there's someone above Admiral Thonda. She mentioned the Joint Chiefs, like, coming from a military family, it's like, we're going to report to the Joint Chiefs. Oh, shoot, who screwed up? Like, that is the big time. Yeah, so I want to know so much more, and I don't know that we're ever going to get it, and so I want the Bible.
Something I just want to point out, can we just say how much I love Veronica?
Oh, Veronica's great. Yeah.
She's so cool.
She's awesome. Yeah.
She's absolutely. And I love that when they show the footage from the paladins that they sent home, you can see her in the reaction shot of Lance's family. But it's kind of blink and you'll miss it. And if you're not thinking about it, it's really nice to have this bit in that second episode. Your brother would be proud of you. Yeah, where the hell is Lance?
Right.
I'm just like, oh, okay, this entire family is amazing then. I see how this works.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't expect that. Well, I knew that Veronica was a character that I would have to interact with before I found out she was Lance's sister. And I was like, oh, weird. Yeah.
I super thought she was dead. Yeah. And seeing the cadets come back and realizing this isn't the first loss that the garrison has had in this war, but this is the first time that these four have lost someone on a mission.
Right.
It's one of those moments of, yeah, she didn't make it. Like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
So as Griffin, like, I know that they do their best to, like, get everybody together for cast reads.
Right.
Were you able to do a lot of reads with the other members of Griffin's team?
Sort of. I know Bumper Robinson, who does, why can't I think of his name now? Kincaid. Got to do one or two things with him. I don't think I ever met Leif's daughter, but I'd say her name a lot. And I kept being like, Leif's daughter? Leif's daughter? Leif's daughter, that's how I think of it. It's a very Irish sounding. But yeah, no, I was mostly with the main cast. And then I think because the other guys had kind of less lines, they would sort of bring them in after or before. But I was mostly just with the core cast, which was great.
It makes sense because, again, he has that sort of abrasive relationship with Keith. So
right. I did some stuff with, I can't think of his name, Steven. Yeah, some stuff with him. We did some arguing, and which is fun. It's so weird to go from Lotor to that, you know? And but yeah, a lot of stuff with Nolan North, because he does, I mean, there's like one episode which is him talking to himself.
Yeah.
Because he's doing Sam Holt and then...
Iverson.
Yeah, Iverson, and it's so funny to hear him like... You know, like, and he would just do it. He would just go back and forth, and it was great. Yeah.
Did he ever switch voices and do a line in the wrong voice?
Yeah, that did happen. That definitely happened. Yeah, no, there was actually one moment where I do remember that specific thing happened. He was like, oh, shit. You know, sorry, I curse. Can I not curse?
It happens.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, no, the Dan Green moment. Again, this is why I want the blooper reel. Yeah. So at the end of this, we have all of our players in place. We have the resistance network that Veronica discovered. We have our last garrison base standing. We have Sendak and Hepta. God bless him.
Old Sendak.
We have Voltron returning to Earth, and that's kind of where we end things.
Yeah,
so that should be fun to get into.
We get to go home.
We're going home. Oh, so we cut back to that. Yay, we're going home scene. Like, oh, guys, oh yeah. No,
it's gonna be rough. Yeah, so I was trying to look up who made Starbucks. The Bay Art. That was what. I don't remember who did it. Anyway.
Well, chat wants to know where your phone case came from.
Oh, my phone case.
Because they saw you pick it up and they were like, okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was going to say it. It's oh, my God. What's their name? Hold on. I got it right here. It's coming. You guys talk about other things. Quick.
Tell us about your spoops.
My spoops? Oh, yes. That was just something I made for myself. They were these little Halloween statues I made that I put on my desk and I put them up on Instagram. People were like, where did you get those? I was like, I made them. And so basically everyone forced me into selling them on Etsy, so now I do, and it's great.
They're so cute. Thank you. They're cute as anything.
The response to it has been insane. I didn't think people would want any of them. Here we go.
I definitely want a spoop. I have to go on Etsy.
You can have a spoop. The candy corn one has been surprisingly the most popular. It was like, like over 100 in like a day or something crazy. I was like, whoa!
Now I have to make these.
I have to make 100 and something. Yeah, that blew my mind. Okay, so Sumafo is who made my phone case. Sumafo. On Instagram. They're very sweet. They also sent me like a Rocketeer, custom Rocketeer thing they made for me.
That's so cool. Oh, dang.
Yeah. So there it is. But this is the Lotor one. And they have a bunch of, they just have all Voltron stuff and they're super sweet and yeah.
So yeah, go on Etsy, do the thing. Do you have any other projects that you can tell us about or is it just Voltron all the way down?
Voltron, my brain stops as soon as I have to think about what other stuff I'm working on.
NDAs are so hard.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know. Look at my spoops. That's about it. Watch my Instagram for my weird little sculptures. But I'm sure I'm working on stuff that I don't remember that I can talk about. There's a lot of stuff I can't talk about, but yeah.
Just follow your social media.
Just follow my social media and then you'll find out when I find out.
And are your social medias?
Oh, at AJ Locasio. On Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me in. Sorry if I said anything weird. Okay, good.
How dare you express your opinion?
I know. I cursed at one point. So hard not to.
I've said worse on kid shows. Let's be real. Megan?
But, it's Halloween, guys, so definitely check out the spoops. They're so cute.
Thank you for the plug.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
Blue Lion Alexis Taurus is A Taurus 890. Red Lion Emma 5 is Emma 5, same as her name. And Yellow Lion Mark Donica is Mark B. Donica, same as his name. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Stay tuned to this YouTube channel. We have Attack on Titan up next, which is super great. And we have Rooster Teeth on Wednesdays, and we're doing Nomad right now, and it's amazing. So yes, you should totally watch the thing. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Welcome to Earth.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.